United States announces new sanctions against North Korea. And a leading UN official says Ebola can be stamped out this year. I'm David Byrd reporting from Washington. The United States has imposed new sanctions on North Korea in response to a cyber attack on Sony Pictures Entertainment late last year. U.S. President Barack Obama Friday signed an executive order authorizing the sanctions. The White House says the sanctions, which target 3 organizations and 10 individuals, are just a first step in seeking to punish North Korea for numerous provocations, including the cyber attack. The U.S. has had sanctions in place against Pyongyang in relation to the North's nuclear program, but this is the first time sanctions have been imposed directly related to cybersecurity. The outgoing head of the UN Mission for Ebola Emergency Response says the worst outbreak of the disease can be ended this year. Speaking in Accra, Ghana, Anthony Banbury said a significant progress has been made in fighting Ebola since he was appointed in September, but the crisis is far from over.
We don't have all the people we need in the remote locations. It's getting better and better every day, and more people are arriving. But that's certainly an area that I wish I had been more successful at, and that we're going to have to be more successful.
Banbury said when the UN mission began last year, there were predictions that as many as 1.4 million people would be infected by the start of 2015. The World Health Organization says that 20,206 people have been infected with the disease. This is VOA News. Indonesian search and rescue teams have found 2 big parts of Air Asia Flight 8501, which crashed into the Java Sea last week with 162 people on board. The head of the search and rescue team, Franciscus Bambang Solistio, said Saturday that the 2 objects are about 30 meters underwater, and the agency is attempting to get to them with remotely operated vehicles. Solistio added that strong currents are hindering the navigation of the ROVs. He said the larger of the 2 objects was about 10 meters by 5 meters. So far, 30 bodies have been recovered from the Airbus A320, which disappeared in strong storms about an hour into its flight between Surabaya, Indonesia, and Singapore last Sunday. A ship carrying hundreds of migrants arrived at the southern Italian port of Coriano Calabro Friday after being abandoned by its crew in rough seas. Italian Coast Guard personnel took control of the Ezzedine earlier Friday after being lowered by helicopter onto its deck. The ship had lost power in rough seas about 40 kilometers off Crotone on Italy's heel. Authorities estimate there are about 450 people on board, including women and children. Most are thought to be Syrian. The Palestinians have submitted documents to the United Nations to join the International Criminal Court, a move that will enable them to seek war crimes charges against Israel. The Palestinian ambassador to the UN, Riyad Mansour, and a UN spokesman on Friday confirmed the handover of the documents at UN headquarters.
The Palestinian people and the Palestinian leadership should be commended for joining the ICC and seeking this peaceful, legal, civilized option to seek justice, and should not be punished for doing so.
President Mahmoud Abbas of the Palestinian Authority signed the documents after the UN Security Council rejected a draft resolution earlier this week, setting a 3-year deadline for the establishment of a Palestinian state on lands occupied by Israel after the 1967 war. And the U.S. State Department says it is deeply concerned about an attack in the West Bank in which Jewish settlers threw rocks at a U.S. diplomatic convoy investigating claims of damage to Palestinian agricultural property. A State Department spokesman said authorities in Israel are investigating and have acknowledged the seriousness of Friday's incident. The attack occurred near a Jewish settlement. U.S. officials went there to inspect olive trees Palestinians believe were uprooted by Jewish settlers. For more, visit our website, voanews.com. I'm David Byrd in Washington.
That's the latest world news from VOA.
That's Rick Stenmy and My Broken Heart out of the UK on VOA 1. Taylor Swift in the news, recently named the most charitable celebrity of 2014, thanks in part to her decision to donate all proceeds from her Welcome to New York song to the New York Public Schools. 2 years she's held that number one spot. Congratulations, Taylor. Here's Capital Cities on the One.
I have a feeling John Coltrane would be very proud of that version of his classic song, India, from the album Back East. That's Joshua Redman in one channel, and his father, the late Dewey Redman, in the other channel. It was very interesting to be able to listen to those two masters playing at the same time, one on the left and one on the right. If you were listening in stereo, hope you enjoyed that experience. And now I want to play some music for you that I wasn't able to fit in the 2 hours of last week's Jazz America, which was dedicated to the Grammy nominees in the jazz category. So I want to try to fit some of that in right now. From his album, Map to the Treasure, Reimagining Laura Nyro, the great jazz pianist Billy Childs put together an all-star group of singers and performers to bring together these apparently, you might say, disparate styles of music, rock and pop and folk and Americana and jazz, and he did it masterfully, and it has garnered him multiple Grammy nominees. With Alison Krauss and Jerry Douglas joining with him, here is the song And When I Die, written by Laura Nyro, Billy Childs on Jazz America from the VOA Music Mix Network.
And all I ask
proving that jazz can blend with just about any other style of music and create wonderful work in the 21st century, Billy Childs with Alison Krauss and Jerry Douglas, known as artists from the country music world, with a cut from the Grammy-nominated release Map to the Treasure, reimagining Laura Nyro, Billy Childs. Got more from our All in the Family Fathers and Sons series coming up, but first, I want to invite you to get in touch with me by email. It's very simple. I'll give you the email address to which you can write with your questions, comments, or requests for music. Here's the address. jazzamerica@voanews.com. That's jazzamerica, the two words written as one word, @ voanews.com. jazzamerica@voanews.com. And here's a pretty exciting message I've received recently. It reads as follows. I am Tete Neti, the president of Marshall's University in Ghana. I listen to you frequently and am listening now. Could you please play any nice contemporary jazz for me? Thanks. Well, thank you so very much, and I would be happy to play some modern contemporary jazz for you. And it comes from another group that is involved in academia, just as you are, the Swiss Youth Jazz Orchestra. So young people, students of jazz, coming together for an album titled Future Steps, and it was recorded at the Jazzar Festival in 2014 in Aarau, Switzerland. And it features not only the Swiss Youth Jazz Orchestra, but also Randy Brecker and Mike Maignieri, among other great American luminaries joining with them on the song made famous back in the 20th century by one of the great groups of contemporary jazz, Steps Ahead. The song is Beirut, just for you. Tete Neti of Ghana, the president of Marshall's University, listening to VOA's Jazz America. Enjoy.
Thank you.
Dave Brubeck, Paul Desmond, and the Quartet from 1953, recorded live in Stockton, California at the College of the Pacific, Crazy Rhythm, the name of the song. Dave Brubeck was famous for taking his music to college campuses and therefore helping jazz grow and grow with a younger audience. Brilliant concept by one of the greats of jazz history. Dave Brubeck went to college, and I have a feeling that his sons, Chris and Darius, went to the College of Dave Brubeck most every day when they heard their father making music and heard him talking about it, and of course taught them directly. I had a wonderful experience backstage at the Detroit Jazz Festival a few years ago, sitting with Chris Brubeck and his father Dave in conversation. Here's some of that conversation as Chris talks about the effect of his father upon him here on VOA's Jazz America. You know, since I have Chris here, I think, Chris, that I saw in your performance, and I get in general from you, the fact that you've drawn the same eyes as your dad, the same wit, because I've heard interviews with him before, and that the time signature thing. Now, what else did you learn from your dad?
Well, a lot of where I'm going in terms of integrating classical music and jazz is very deeply rooted in growing up when Dave was doing his what were considered experiments at that time with Leonard Bernstein and the New York Philharmonic. Mm-hmm. And so that was a real groundbreaking thing to dare to do that. The classical world's nose was very far up in the air.
Sure.
And in my lifetime, I've seen their chin come much more to horizontal and then even down. You know, they'll look you in the eye. And I got to say that, you know, Dave started something, but I would say that it's really that snobbery is really being eliminated with the prominence of Yo-Yo Ma.
Uh-huh.
I mean, they can't argue he's one of the greatest straight-ahead classical cellists. Right. But Yo-Yo Ma, I mean, you know, he goes out with the Silk Road Ensemble, just like with Mark O'Connor, Edgar Meyer,
yes.
You know, and then Wynton Marsalis, you know, who's a wonderful classical as well as jazz guy. So in Dave's lifetime, those borders that were huge, it was like the Berlin Wall of music between classical and jazz, has really crumbled big time. And so I followed in Dave's footsteps by doing a lot of writing that exploits the what's parallel about our great music, you know, not what's different. In fact, the Brubeck Brothers Quartet is working with the Calgary Symphony in Canada, you know, next week. So that's a tradition. I've learned so much from Dave about that all of this is possible, and it's not crazy, and it's really coming around. People really enjoy that kind of collaboration now.
Thank you, Chris. I appreciate that. I was on the stage while you guys were performing, and your dad was behind the stage, and I would glance at him a few times here and there, and all he could do was just smile ear to ear. And now I want to play one of those performances from the Detroit Jazz Festival by the Brubeck Brothers Quartet as they perform Dave Brubeck's famous composition, Jazzanians. And I'll let Chris Brubeck introduce the song from the stage on Jazz America from the VOA Music Mix Network.
So this tune actually has roots in Africa. My brother Darius taught jazz over there. He's the first guy in the continent of Africa to be teaching. And so this is a tune that Dave wrote for Darius's group called the Jazzanians, which was the rainbow group. It had Zulus and Xhosas and Afrikaans and English. All the people that are supposed to hate each other were in this band digging each other. So this is a group. This is Jazzanians.